Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord this morning. We've come today to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please rise? We begin our worship with prayer. I bind myself unto the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature has creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. A generous person will prosper. The one who refreshes others will also be refreshed. We have different gifts according to the grace, the gift of God given to us. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him lead diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Amen. Our confession and absolution. Confess. Admit your sin before the Lord and before one another. In our sinful condition, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, your baptism into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He saved us through the renewing by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit he poured out on you generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we are made right in God's eyes. You are justified by his grace, a free gift to you through God's generosity. You are forgiven, made right, justified in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we inherit all the riches of the kingdom of God as his children. You inherit the gift of the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man." The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the early church, Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel for today, for Trinity Sunday, is taken from John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If we were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Our confession of faith, and because of Trinity Sunday, these are taken from portions of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold to the one Christian faith. The one Christian faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. The Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. The Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. The Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. This is the one Christian faith. Amen.
I adore.
may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, for this day we do thank you. A day that we draw attention to and talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our God, three in one persons, eternal, loving, always existing to bring about our salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. Today's meditation is taken from part of Proverbs chapter 8. When he established, that is God, when God established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the foundations of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in the inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. Such is wisdom from the very beginning. If we were creating a time capsule for this church to be placed in the cornerstone, and if you've been around here long enough, I don't know where it is, but I'm sure there's one located here someplace. What is and what could be in that time capsule? And what would you put into that time capsule if we were dedicating a new church? Of all the things that could be put into that small space, what do you think would be best to be placed in there to be opened and viewed by future generations? In July of 2014, St. John's Lutheran Church in Orange, California, one of the churches where Lynn and I worshiped when we were at Christ College Irvine, now changed its name to Concordia Irvine. But back when it was good old Christ College, we worshiped at St. John's and hardly thought that I'd be talking about the 100th anniversary of their sanctuary. And upon that 100th anniversary, back July 2014, they opened the time capsule of that church, and what do you think they found? Put that idea on hold for a minute. If somebody were to open the time capsule of your life, what might they find? Your degrees? Your successes? A few of your missteps? Your children? Your grandchildren? What might be viewed in your time capsule? Don Winkler has passed from us. He's now in the Lord, hands of our Lord. And this afternoon I have the joy and the pleasure and the honor of going to his visitation and saying a few words. But as you know, when you walk into that area, that funeral parlor, it's the time capsule of a person's life. There will be pictures there on big picture boards. And you get to kind of walk around and look and view into the time capsule of a person's life. And we're all going to end up there someday. What will be viewed in your time capsule? Let's do something a little fun today. Pastor Squires is gone. You know, we can have a little fun. Who here has their first job ever? Junior high, high schooler, you're getting your first paycheck. That's pretty cool. Anybody? No hands? Maybe second service. Who here is working and has a boss? Raise your hand. Yeah. Who here is in maybe that little tougher position, middle management, where you're working? You know, you are responsible for other people, but there's that next step up that's kind of watching over you And I really feel for you folks. Who's in middle management here? Raise your hand up. Yeah, they're the ones with the gray hair and a little more creases on their face through all those challenges. Who here is the boss? There's nobody under you. Maybe you work for yourself, but maybe you're the top of the heap. Okay, we got one hand out there. Couple, all righty, good. Who here is retired? All right, hold my hand up. And let's see, we got to include everybody. Who here is in full-time ministry? Raise your hands up. Let me ask it again. Who here is in full-time ministry? Every hand should be up. Did the acolytes raise their hand? Checking. Okay. Well, as they open that time capsule, July 14th, St. John's Lutheran Church, they found a lot of little stuff, but mostly the big things, they found a German Bible, they found a German hymnal. I mean, who thought that the Lutheran services would actually ever be in English, right? So they found a German Bible, a German hymnal, and then they found a local newspaper, of course, in English. But with those three things, you see the emphasis, and you see what the people of St. John Lutheran Church wanted future generations to know, that they held on to the Word of God, that they held on to the words of the people, and they also wanted to reflect upon the word of the day. And there was the Word of God, which proclaims a saving work of Jesus Christ and brings salvation to all people. And there were the words of the people, the hymnal, which, as you know, changes throughout the ages. The hymnal by which they gave praise to God, and along with that was the words of the world, a glimpse of the world out of which God is calling his people together for his saving mission. And with those three small objects, those who laid the cornerstone provided a prayer for future generations that they would continue in God's mission. Do we ever think about that? That we will continue into the future with God's mission. In our Old Testament reading this morning, we don't have a time capsule with objects in it, but we have a rare glimpse of what is there at the earth's foundation. Our goal is to open up God's word today and to meditate upon these words of wisdom so that we can rejoice in what the Lord is bringing to us. Now, back in the Old Testament reading, we're given a glimpse of creation. Most of us are familiar with the creation account with Genesis. In the Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God's word starts out this way, so we know that the world just didn't come into being out of happenstance or through millions of years of evolution. Things happened, and all of a sudden people were walking on the earth. We know that out of nothing, God has created this world, and he's created it very good. We look at the Bible verse from Proverbs, and here we're offered a glimpse of something more than just the story of creation. As if that isn't enough, we're given a glimpse of God. God before the creation of this world. And we see that our Lord delights in this creation. Before the world began, God was rejoicing, and his delight was our eventual salvation. But what is God really delighting in? The Bible answers that in two verses. The Lord was delighting in wisdom, and wisdom was delighting in the people of God that would eventually inhabit the world. Now, could you imagine our God who created the entire universe with his word, who has named all the stars, which are too many to count, has called you by his name and delights in your salvation? Paul clarifies this for us. He says, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, and as far as I'm concerned, that covers everything. Before creation, Jesus was with God the Father, and all things were created through him. Jesus is this figure of wisdom, the master workman who was with the Father before the world was created. The Father delighted in Jesus. Jesus rejoiced before the Father. You see them working together in perfect concert and unity. And the world itself was created in exuberance and joy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit working together to bring all things into being. And the world was created, and God called all things very good. And this light spreads from the very nature of who God is into his creation. Jesus is seen rejoicing with the inhabited world and delighting in the children of men, verse 31 from our lesson today. Before the world began, Jesus was filled with delight for all people. But after the fall into sin, Jesus continued to hold onto his original delight. As we track Jesus through the New Testament, people are grumpy and contrary, and they have ideas of what Jesus should be doing, and they have ideas of who Jesus should be accepting and rejecting. And Jesus loves and accepts all of these people, much to the chagrin of many that he meets. Out of joy, Jesus came to save these people. He came to save us and to restore creation, which has been cursed because of human sin. If we were to go way back to the very foundation of the world and recover that time capsule, within that time capsule, we would see the delight of God. God the Father delighting in the work of God the Son, Jesus. And Jesus, God's Son, delighting in all people. In the Holy Spirit coming, reflected in our Acts 2 reading today, to bring his Spirit amongst us and continue to remind us and encourage us and bring us closer to Jesus. The whole salvation story brings delight to God. But let's be honest. Bring it down to our level this morning. How do we approach God? How do you approach God? How do I approach God? Always praising him for every situation in life? No. Do we share all of our joys and our sorrows with him? I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes people approach God for just a momentary fix in their lives. They only turn to God when something is wrong, and they start by blaming God for that. Maybe they're humbled later on, like David was so many times in the Psalms, and they are open to God's mercy, but not often. Things come into people's lives. We live ordinary lives. There's divorces and deaths and disaster. And they see God as a temporary healer, a momentary fix to their problems. And then God becomes very small. We push him down and kind of put him into that little hole of that problem to stop up that problem. And we forget the bigger picture of who God is. He becomes a utility tool, an all-in-one, a band-aid, and then we move on. And I'm with you, fellow believers. I could be accused of doing that many, many times. We reduce God down to the size of our vision. But as we open the time capsule from Proverbs, we get a different vision of God. And I love it when the Lord does this in so many ways in his word. Forgiveness is not just a momentary fix on our lives. Forgiveness is not just received on Sunday morning and when we receive Holy Communion, when we see children baptized. It's a much larger story. It's huge, as Bernie would say. Okay, I thought that was funny. But You'll get it on the way home. It is huge. It's part of God's delight. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a loving, forgiving Lord who delights in his creation, of which we are the crowning achievement? This year we finished with the Gospel of John during the weeknight, and many people hung in there twice. We did Gospel of John 2 years ago. We did it this year. There's still more to learn, but we're going to move on. And this year we're going to study through the book of Genesis. And I've already been reading through Genesis. Lord, please inspire me as I teach through this book and gathering resources. And I am refreshed again at the very simple facts. As God created the world, we are the crowning achievement of that creation. And Jesus has come to be with us to forgive that crowning achievement of God's creation from the very foundations of the world. Jesus has formed us as his creatures, and believe it or not, he finds delight in us. Even after we fell into sin, even after we sin every day, God still delights in us. Jesus chose to come to this world to die for your very personal sins and to rise for your salvation. By his death and resurrection, Jesus promises to bring you from this world to the new creation of God, to be with him, to sing his eternal praise. And that song from Proverbs teaches us to sing that song of praise, to give God thanks and delight in what he has done in this book of wisdom. It's a great book, this book of Proverbs. And you would expect to find like short little proverbial sayings, and they are there. But it also teaches us the way of the Lord. And what's amazing about these words today from Proverbs is that nowhere do we see, even in all of God's word, about us pursuing God. We don't bring about our own salvation. We don't go and cooperate with God and find favor in his eyes that way. But we find many words of God pursuing us. God pursues his redeemed. God pursues his sinful people. He pursues us in forgiveness. He pursues us with his presence every day. And wisdom goes into the crowded places of our lives, calls us his people, and sings God's delight. I know you're familiar with Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. And that psalm ends like this: surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a great psalm, and sometimes it's even better when you just take out a verse or two and apply that to your life. His goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. And to follow means to pursue, because Christ in God pursues us with goodness and mercy all of our days. Yesterday I was gone all day playing with my friends. My wife calls them my boyfriends. With my friends, and I know she was home on her own, left on her own, and got home kind of late, and I opened the garage door. And normally our garage is pretty boring. It's, you know, cement floor and tools on the wall and, you know, bicycle in the corner, not much going on. But there's this riot of color in our garage. Yes, she's been flower shopping. And I just stood there for a minute, and I thought, thank you, Lord, for taking my life and the lives of so many people, kind of hard concrete, boring floor, and sometimes a very mundane space. And because you pursue us, because of your grace, there is this upshoot of color and life and forgiveness in our lives. need to ask you, who here is in full-time ministry? God bless you. Please rise for prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful that you pursue us. Thank you, Jesus, for completing all the work of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for doing that which we could never do to make us righteous and holy in your presence. Jesus, we are so thankful. Thankful that you would delight in us, the crowning achievement of your creation, that you would desire to be with us every day. Lord, may that grace and that mercy endure forever in our lives. Amen. Our offering preface on page 9. Praise to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise for your glorious name. But who are we that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Amen. You may be seated, and our offerings are received. Morning again, as our offerings are received. Are there any prayer requests that you would like to have included today with our prayers? We'll start over here. Anything from this side of your prayer request today? Okay, thanks for making my job a little easier. Oh, there's one here. Yes. Yeah, John. Okay, new graduates from Warren. Yeah, okay. It's certainly the season for graduations, isn't it? And some of you probably know I'm here today because Pastor Squires received his doctorate and he's walking with his class today. That's kind of one of the biggest kept secrets here, is that he earned his doctorate. If I earned my doctorate, be no secret. Be on all my Christmas cards, everybody would get a Christmas card, you know, and be out in front. But that's a great achievement. You know, full-time pastor, full-time husband, father, and yet finding or taking time, making time to advance his ministry in this way. So we are so blessed. So he's gone this weekend, and I think also visiting Susan's mother as well. So we'll continue to pray for them and their safe return. As you know from your email, Don Winkler has passed away, and very sad about that. Today is the visitation, I think it's Strang Funeral Home? Marsh, thank you. This is part of not being a pastor here, you know, I have to make sure we have this right. So Marsh Funeral Home, 3 to 7 p.m. The choir is singing towards the end of that visitation period. I'll be there to give a brief meditation. And the funeral is Monday here at 10 a.m. I'm sorry, 10 a.m. visitation here, and then 11 o'clock is the service. So 10 o'clock visitation, 11 o'clock service, then they're having a bite to eat afterwards. And kind of folding in an announcement, more food and help is needed for Don Winkler's funeral meal. So if you've ever been waiting to be generous and you thought maybe you'd like to help out in this area, please see Carol Cook, or there's a sign up in back as well. So they need a little more food and some help on Monday. So if you can do that, that would be fabulous. We're done with the prayer requests. And what am I doing next? Offertory. And praying. Thank you. We sing our offertory. Would you please rise for prayer? Lord, our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be generous people. We know and understand, Lord, that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. You have given us salvation in Jesus Christ as a gift from your hand, that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of returning a portion of that which you have first given to us back for the work of the mission of the church. Jesus, we thank you today for our pastor, Pastor Squires, and his family that supports him. Lord, we thank you for his ministry here and for what you have poured into his life and continue to do so. Lord, we thank you for our servant. May the joy that you pour into his heart continue to be evident in his life. Lord, we thank you for his hard work in receiving his doctorate and for being with his classmates over this weekend and making other visits while he is down in the St. Louis area. Lord, may you grant him a safe journey back to us. Lord, we pray today for Don Winkler's family. Lord, we thank you for Don and for all of their lives, the ministry that they have provided with us as well. Lord, may you bless our choir and the message today, and may you be with the family on Monday as they rejoice in the gift of salvation that you have given to Don as well. Lord, today we pray for individual people. We pray for Irene, a server in the kitchen at Heritage Woods. Lord, we pray that you would be with her, Lord, and continue to bless her. We pray for and thank you, Lord, for our congregation closing up its education year. Lord, we thank you for all of our Sunday school teachers and helpers and those that have provided so much throughout this Sunday school year. Lord, we are so blessed to learn and have that word of God sink so deep within our lives. Lord, today we pray for those with health concerns. We pray for June Doherty, for Susie, for Joanne Heidolf, for Randy and Bev Hallman. We pray for Lucille and Dee, for Rhonda Bergman, and for Marge. Lord, may you be with all of your people in their individual needs. Lord, we pray for those with health concerns, for Harry and Gail and Vicki. Lord, may you be with them. For Susan Squire's mother, Sam Foster, struggling with lung cancer. For Margarita, for Pam, for Sue, for Carla Thompson's mother, Barb, for Maureen, Paul DeLoss's sister-in-law. Lord, be with all of these people. Lord, you know who they are, and they are the delight of your life. May you be with them. Lord, we pray for any that might be entering surgery this week or have other health concerns. We pray for those in grief. Certainly the family of Don Winkler, be with him, O Lord. For Lucy, a Gurney Meadows resident, 99 years old, who passed away last Sunday. We pray for the family of David Miller, relative of pastor's family. Lord, may you be with him, missing. And according to news, they did find his body this week. Lord, be with that family at this moment. We pray, Lord, for all of those in our armed forces, those that are members of this congregation, and those that are serving all over the world. Lord, we pray for our congregational leaders, for our synodical leaders. We pray for leaders all over the world, that they may continue and know your grace. In your name we pray. We conclude our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord, or fully declare his praise? Remember us, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to our aid when you save them, so that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard. Amen. Our closing hymn. thy name. Be seated. Just I think two quick announcements on the back. You'll find information about Vacation Bible School. My only question, are we having a real pig? No, okay. Disappointed. Today, between services, we have our Sunday School celebration. Is that right?